Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Village Board meeting this evening. Would you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everyone. We have a nice crowd here tonight. Call the meeting to order with a roll call. Trustee Harris?
Here.
Trustee Gennert?
Here.
Trustee Atwood?
Here.
President Rafter here. Trustee Dart?
Here.
Trustee Green?
Here.
All present and accounted for. We are going to make some changes to tonight's agenda. We're going to move item 9, action regarding the room tax, up to 4A. And we are going to move item number 14, appointment of Sandy Juno to the Historic Preservation Committee, to item 4B. We need to change number 10. The date for the fundraiser says August 2nd on our agenda, but it's really August 27th. Are there any other changes to tonight's agenda? Hearing none, I'll accept a motion to approve the agenda as modified. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Announcements. Movie in the Park on August 18th. We are showing Rogue One at Green Isle Park. It is rated PG. It starts at 5 p.m. The movie starts at dusk. There will be games for children and lots of fun. So bring your families, bring your friends, bring your neighbors, and have a good time at Green Isle Park. August 2nd and 3rd, tomorrow and the following evening at 6:30 p.m., you can join the Brown County Historical Society in the Alloway Catholic Cemetery, located at 2121 Riverside Drive, for a cemetery walk. That's $7 for adult, $18 for a family. And they ask you to join BCHS at the Alloway Catholic Cemetery and meet some of Green Bay's former residents at their grave sites. Once these folks walked, laughed, worked, and contributed to our community, now they are a member of our yesterday. Hear their stories. Take a step back in their time. I've heard it's a great event. We've got some very interesting stories of the past in that cemetery. So tomorrow night and the following night at 6:30 p.m. Any other announcements from the board? Any other announcements from staff? Hearing none, we will move on to item 4A. Which is the old number 9, room tax, amended and restated cooperation agreement, second amendment and restated pledge and security agreement. Mr. Lane.
Actually, with us tonight is Allison Swanson, who has been involved with us for a long time. Allison is the administrator for the Village of Ashwaubenon. So, welcome, Ashwaubenon. Allison, come up here.
Welcome, Allison. Come on up.
Step up or do you have to suspend the rules?
We have a lot of dignitaries tonight. It's nice. Could you state your name and address, please?
I'm Allison Swanson, Village Administrator for Village of Ashwaubenon. It's 2155 Holmgren Way, Ashwaubenon, 54304.
Thank you.
And I'll just give you a brief overview in terms of the documents that you're looking at. I know that's a really thick packet of materials, and there is an executive summary in there that briefly hits on some of the changes that have evolved in terms of the document. But maybe to give you a little bit of a history of what this is trying to accomplish, is the original room tax agreements date back to 1999, in when the original MECA group formed and kicked off a room tax for Brown County to provide debt service payments to the Rush Center and then the original KI Center. Since that time, there have been a couple of amendments that you have agreed to, including a 2% that would go to the CVB, the Convention and Visitors Bureau. There is a separate document that also is between Brown County and the City of Green Bay relating to the KI expansion that occurred similarly around 2012. What these agreements are trying to do is to take up all these amendments and documents since 1999 and kind of put them in a present one document that summarizes the situation of the parties as they stand today, and also give it some additional flexibility onto some things going into the future. The way the agreement previously existed, it would have ceased in 2029 because that's when the debt would have been paid off or will be paid off for the Resch Center and KI, the main KI center. Since that time, the City of Green Bay has also bonded on its own, but it's backed by what we call excess room tax dollars in terms of those excess of those first two debts. So that that KI expansion debt actually goes to 2043, but the City of Green Bay was going to have to absorb that through it was collecting enough room tax on its own essentially into the future from 2029 to cover that debt on its own. But and each municipality, like Village of Alloway, after that debt is paid off, would be faced with the decision to keep those room taxes in place and use it for your own tourism purposes, or what we're asking for is that all the communities buy back into the original purpose of the room tax agreement, which is to reinvest in the Expo Center and that whole entire complex to continue to spur economic development within our area, and it has a ripple effect throughout the other communities as well. So in large part, what this document is doing is repledging those dollars through 2029, and then we would continue on with room taxes into... It doesn't have a finality, if you will, but we anticipate it to be by 2043 or 2050, depending on final bonding for the Expo Center. So at this point, projected to be about $93 million, but we don't have final numbers to that until we get through actual architecture and design. In addition, if there were excess funds, say we comb through all these buckets, there is some funding... additional funding for the Convention and Visitors Bureau. They are underfunded in terms of their competitive Convention and Visitor Bureaus throughout the state. They would really like to see more towards 3% of all room taxes. We're getting that way in terms of their payments would be in the neighborhood of about $500,000, assuming funding is there. In addition, if there was excess beyond that, then that money would go back to each individual municipality in proportionate to how it was brought in. So if you are contributing 10%, you would get 10% of those funds back in the year that those excess dollars are there. So it looks like you have a question.
Nope.
I'll keep rambling.
Another
portion that's in here that's not previously addressed in the agreement, and I know you're talking about it a little later on the agenda, is collection of room tax, and it's a big issue for the Lodging Association. It's a big issue for our community as well in the City of Green Bay, but particularly with short-term rentals. Overall, the Lodging Association's position is we don't mind them being out there, but we want it to be fair. And from the village's perspective, we have our own perspective on the short-term rental issue, but even those that we do permit, we want to see paying that room tax so they're all contributing, that you know they're able to rent their homes because of what is happening in the tourism that's generated in our communities. And right now, the collection effort is all back with each individual staff from each municipality. There's not a collective effort to sort this out. There's no auditing done. The Room Tax Commission really has no funds because all funds are committed to the debt. So what this agreement does is provide an avenue in which the parties can get together and use some funds. It doesn't really say a dollar amount. We don't think it's going to be significant. Obviously, you don't want to spend $100,000 to collect $40,000 or something like that. But we need to identify what the problem is and what the most effective way to do it is. We will also be looking for other surrounding municipalities that aren't currently part of the agreement and don't have hotels. We believe they do have short-term rentals, and they need to be part of this and everybody treated equally And so this agreement will allow us to also collect room taxes on behalf of those also. You know, if you look at the town of Scott, it's got the shrine. There's a lot of stuff going on there. Hobart, particularly with the LPGA event at Thornbury, there's a lot of short-term rentals happening in there. We think that number is somewhere in the neighborhood of $60,000 to $100,000 in uncollected room tax. So this would provide a mechanism where we can kind of come together and still kind of adjust through time what we need to do rather than it just being left to each individual municipality. Their Airbnb and VRBO and those are really a new trend, and it's hard to predict what's going to happen into the future, so it gives us some flexibility to kind of change with the times, especially when we're looking out as far as 2050. Overall, that's kind of the concept of the overall waterfall of the agreement. If you have specific questions, I'm certainly happy to answer those.
Any questions?
Would the proposed sales tax on Airbnbs or VRBOs or whatever be the same as whatever the hotel tax is, or is it adjusted?
Correct, and it's room tax, just because it's
consistent
collected, you know, different from sales tax, but it's 8% is what goes into the debt, and 2% goes to the CVB. That would be applied across the board, so each municipality has to have its own ordinance, and the agreement itself is what causes those funds to flow in that direction, but you still have to have an ordinance in place matching those percentages so that they would all be treated equally. And each, whether it's an Airbnb or a hotel or a motel, bed and breakfast, they all are self-reporting, but we do have the auditing capabilities. It's just that right now, between staff and limited resources, we really don't do them.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much, Alice.
Thank you.
Did you have a question?
Just one thought. The monies that go towards that wouldn't be just directed at audits of Airbnbs, VVROs, and independents, correct? It would be audits of everybody. If we're going to audit, that needs to be equal to?
Correct. Okay. Correct. Right. I mean, and that's the theory of the Lodging Association. I think there's some doubt as to, but there are exceptions. You know, if there's a long-term stay, you know, take a residence in, you guys have one, or you have something similar. A lot of those rooms are exempt, and so it's kind of going through and trying to figure out what that is. But right now, given those 200 nights that are out there in Airbnb world, they're roughly every average night, there's very few municipalities reporting anybody actually submitting room taxes on there. So I think the great city of Green Bay has a couple, but really, that's it. You know, we haven't had any.
People don't voluntarily give taxes.
Crazy, isn't it? And I also don't think they're probably necessarily collecting it. It's not like they're charging it and just using the money. I'm not certainly not suggesting that either.
Well, because I have to say, I use Airbnb frequently, and I've never seen a room tax come up on my Airbnb bill. So it's just, how would we even do that under those platforms? So I hope that's something you look at, too, is you have to have a mechanism. So just a thought.
Right. Right, and I think you see it on some places, like Airbnb will make agreements with municipalities to do it, but you have to be Airbnb friendly, as they call it. So our community is not deemed
right.
That. So I'm sure we will not be able to do that. But I've seen on other websites, for example, if you go to like a VRBO and look at Door County, they'll have a separate amount for the room night, but then they show the different taxes and whatnot. And
how do they do that just for the county? Just for Door County?
Door County is a little bit different than us in terms of they have everybody from Sturgeon Bay North as part of their tourism zone district, and all of the towns, and kind of a similar process to what we're trying to do, is say everybody needs to be part of it. It's not really just about hotels. And what they took their approach was, because they're so tourism driven, that they need those rooms filled. They actually need their short-term rentals filled, because they have not built a new hotel since 1995. So that's a big part of their market, but that feeds their restaurants, feeds their other activities, and so they marketed it to, you know, the other communities, saying, look, you still have a restaurant, you still have an activity, you still count on these visitors. And so it's just a different approach, but we have learned a lot from them in terms of they've done a different presentation to a room tax commission, and they do an awesome job in terms of trying to collect room tax. They've gone through and look at the reporting of reviews and whatnot, match it up with what people are reporting for revenues, and do those dates match up and all that kind of stuff. They've actually, I think, obtained a judgment against one short-term rental for like $25,000 just based on that. So.
Okay, any other questions for Allison? Thank you very much.
So this item is what we gave preliminary approval for back several meetings ago, and our attorney, Mr. Gast, has gotten together with other attorneys and come up with an agreement, correct?
That would be correct, President Radford. And I want to thank Allison for being here and giving a very nice overview of what are very complex agreements. As indicated, you know, the cooperation agreement is really meant to bundle in some old debt for the Resch Center and for the KI Convention Center, but also to prepare for the funding of a new exposition center at the site of the old Brown County Veterans Memorial Arena. So this will bundle in all of that debt. And actually, the obligations of the Village of Alloway are rather limited under the agreement. Basically, we have to develop plans to assist in promoting the Expo Center and tourism, which is something we would want to do anyway. We have to have an effective room tax rate of 10%, which we do. We have to pledge all of our net room taxes to the debt service on the Expo Center, and we've already pledged those proceeds to the prior deficit in existence. If there is a tax deficiency, a room tax deficiency, then the municipalities will cooperatively look at increasing the room tax rate to accommodate any deficiencies so that the debt service can be maintained. And we can't really pledge our room taxes irrevocably for anything else. And we're basically going to be locked into this agreement to make sure that these projects are funded and that there's sufficient reserve accounts to handle their upkeep and things going forward. And we also have to agree to continue to participate in the Room Tax Commission as we have historically. So essentially those are our obligations under the agreement. It seems to be a fairly straightforward agreement with respect to what we have to do. I do like the fact that one thing that was kind of negotiated in is, as was discussed, trying to put a cooperative group together to an auditing and collection agreement between the municipalities so that there's some cost efficiencies and cost benefit in attacking the non-payment and the collection and the auditing issues cooperatively rather than each municipality doing it on its own. So that's something that will be subject to further negotiation once these agreements are executed. So I would encourage the village to participate in those negotiations, because if we can create efficiencies in auditing and collection, that benefits all municipalities in a cost-benefit way or a cost-effective way. So the agreements, I think, are relatively straightforward. The second agreement you're asked to approve is a pledge agreement, which is basically just we pledge our room taxes to a trustee who will then administer the various funds that will be required to finance the Expo Center and to conclude the financing of the pre-existing project. So I think the agreements have been reviewed many, many times. There's been significant input from the various municipalities, which the county has been amenable to incorporating a number of different changes. This auditing and collection agreement being one of the changes that was discussed. So from my perspective, I would recommend that the village board approve the amended and restated cooperation agreement and the second amended pledge and security agreement.
Very good. Thank you very much. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Harris.
Move to approve both the amended and restated cooperation agreement and the second amended and restated pledge and security agreement.
Thank you. Presented. Do I have a second? Trustee Genrich?
Second.
Any discussion? We have so many important people here today. It would be nice to hear from them. But I did hear that the RDA approved it tonight, which is why I think we have so many important people in attendance. So if we can delay this discussion, we can keep them at the meeting all night long.
And you moved it up.
And I moved it up. So for anyone who wanted to know, that was approved tonight at the RDA. So hopefully it's clear sailing if we approve it as well. Excellent. Any discussion?
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Let's get a next bowl hall. Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for everyone for your hard work. And I really moved it up. I skipped item number four. Public appearances. Is there anyone here tonight that would like to speak on anything that is not on this evening's agenda? Is there anyone who would like to speak on anything that is not on tonight's agenda? Okay, hearing none. We will close public appearances and move on to item 4B. And that is the appointing of Sandy Juno to our Historic Preservation Committee. Sandy Juno has been a member of our community for how long, Sandy?
Over 20 years.
Over 20 years. And she serves as a public official in Brown County. She serves as a volunteer on many different boards and committees and schools. And we are very lucky to have Sandy volunteer to help with Alloway being a historically progressive community to help us stay that way. And I thank Sandy very much for her offer. And I would like to make a motion to approve the appointment of Sandy to our Historic Preservation Committee. Do I have a second on that? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? Would you like to come up and say anything, Sandy?
Sure.
Come on up.
I just want to thank you for putting my name forward. I'm very interested in the history of this area, and anything that I can do to help preserve the history of Alloway, I certainly will work hard to do that.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Sandy. Item 5, action regarding Hillcrest Homes PDD extension contingent upon the parties coming to an agreement on repair of the sidewalk and gutter and grassy area. This is from our June 6th and July 18th meeting. Brad, would you like to fill us in?
Sure.
Whoever.
I've been in contact with Dan Doro from Hillcrest Home. And at the latest today, the intent to have the manholes lowered, as indicated in the punch list that was put together, should be done this Friday. The removal of the silt fence will be this Friday unless areas have to stay in due to potential erosion. The curb is the next item that needs to be completed, and they will either be here yet this week or first part of next week to finish the curb. And then do the topsoil and seeding that area. So that should take care of all the items that. The landscaping by the road, correct. So it should address everything, and hopefully by the end of next week it's all done. If not, I think that would be our opportunity to utilize some of the escrow funds that have been set aside to make sure this gets taken care of.
And that silt fence that would only be there while the, if it has to stay, it won't be long enough for the landscaping to be done?
Once it's all cleaned up, then it'll be removed.
Okay. Anything else on that, Craig? Or Brad?
I guess the only other aspect, if they do not complete by the end of next week, the approval of their extension to the PDD is contingent upon all this being completed. So hopefully this will take place, and then we'll report on August 15th that everything's done and the extension then therefore could move forward.
So is it your recommendation to give them until the next village board meeting to have it done?
I would, if we do not have anything completed by next Friday, then we will get things ordered to be done. We'll contract for them services to be done. And then we report to the board on the 15th. And if everything is moving forward, then we can report to the board on the 15th that it's taken care of.
Okay.
So it sounds like one way or the other it'll be taken care of.
So do you need an action from the board?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Get it done. Thank you. Trustee Green.
I was just going to say, I had some public input. Mr. Pinker, who could be at the meeting tonight, did call. They've had several extensions, and so I was explaining how the PDD ordinance worked. And one of the things he pointed out, very valid point, there's no teeth in the ordinance. They don't get it done. We basically have to give them an extension. Do you just hold them up, as Attorney Gast explained last time, and then they still can't build? And our objective is to get things built. So, I don't know, as we're taking a look at the ordinances, it'd be worth looking at PDD ordinance to see if there's some way to put some teeth into it to get projects to completion versus having them hanging out there. For what it's worth, I mean, this has been our only one. Although we have had issues with PDD reviews of other projects, so I don't know.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we don't need a motion. Any other discussion on that? Okay. Thank you very much to everyone. Action item number 6, action regarding resolution 2017-28 to extend allocation of stadium tax funds back from our July 18th meeting. Brad, would you like to?
Yes, if you recall, actually the original resolution had a sunset date of 7/31/17, and the discussion was to extend the sunset to the end of October, giving us an opportunity to work with the state. Hopefully they'll have a budget approved at that time, and we'll have a better understanding whether or not this is something that we can accomplish. So the resolution is pretty straightforward. It's just a matter of changing the sunset clause.
Great, thank you. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dart. Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 7. Discussion action regarding raise order procedures for property AL-50-2 located at 1825 South Webster Avenue. Mr. Lane.
Yes, if you can recall the last meeting, the discussion we had, and Mr. Shaw was not able to attend that meeting, but the direction was to move forward with the paperwork necessary to get the raise order initiated, and then invite Mr. Shaw to come tonight again and see if he's able to shed some light on his building and what his plans are, and see if the board has an idea if they want to extend or whatever they would like to do following Mr. Shaw's presentation. But just to recap a little bit, the issue started back in September of 2013 when the fire department was doing an inspection of the property. And then it goes over the next couple of years, several inspections were made and or notices of doors being left open. A makeshift bedroom was found in the facility. The concerns with black mold, severe water damage, amongst a few other items such as dehumidifiers being covered by clothing, which was a major concern by the fire department. So efforts have been made to try to get something accomplished on this building with Mr. Shaw. And as early as December of 2016, a meeting was held here at the Village Hall with Mr. Shaw, members of staff, Green Bay Fire Department, Brown County Sheriff, to talk about the building and the concerns that staff and the fire department had with the facility. Mr. Shaw indicated that he had his intention is to fix the building up, and that's how the meeting was left. Our building inspector, Kevin Mielen, followed up in January, asking what's going on. We need to know. A letter was dropped off with him indicating that Mr. Shaw had plans to get a contract again and or sell the facility or look for investors for the facility. We did not hear anything back until April when Mr. Whelan sent another email just asking for an update. No response, so that brings us to 2 weeks ago when we brought it forward with the idea to start the raise order. That gives you a pretty good snapshot of what's taking place.
Okay.
Mr. Whelan is here tonight. I had asked him to join us in the event. There were any questions for him.
Okay. Mr. Shaw is here?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a motion on this item?
Should I come over there and speak?
Not yet, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would we like to invite? Trustee Genrich?
At this point, I'd move to approve the raise order. Okay. We've done our staff time and work and all that.
Okay. I have a second. Second by Trustee Green.
If I may interject, that you've already
approved. Thank
you. You've already approved the raise order, so that the process has started. The papers have been delivered to Mr. Shaw.
Okay.
This was just an opportunity that we discussed at the last meeting if he was able to come tonight.
Okay.
So withdraw the motion.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Shaw. How are you?
I wish I could be better.
Okay.
I wanted to come the last meeting.
Yes.
Should we have a motion to suspend the rules?
1 second, sir, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can I have a motion to suspend the rules? Thank you, Trustee Harris. Second by Trustee Dart. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Mr. Shaw, could you give us your name and address, please?
My name is Pravin Shaw. My office is on 1825 Southwest Avenue, and I live in Hobart.
Okay.
Okay. I've been in, if you notice my accent, I came to this great country 60 years ago.
Okay.
Okay. And I got to mention what's running in my mind, and after you hear me, it'll give you a better idea about the scenario.
Okay.
In the old country, if you ever saw the movie Gandhi, in the old country, there was a protest march for salt. And what the German people used to do, those are British, in case if anybody doubts them. They used to wear muslin gloves and hit them. Again and again until the diarrhea would start. And then on the side were all the women in white clothes. They would run, pick up this guy, take him on the side and help him the way they could. One of them who died was my uncle, my mother's brother. In my family, when we ever talk, we don't love the British anymore.
Okay, Mr. Shaw, I'm going to have to ask you just to talk about your building.
Okay.
No, I'm
coming to it.
Okay, because we're short on time tonight,
oh,
and
yes.
I want to hear you.
I don't blame you. Okay? I'm 80 years old. I ran out of my time. Okay. At that office, one sentence. I came to Milwaukee by Greyhound bus from New York.
Mr. Shaw,
and
I'm sorry. Just talk about your building. I'm sorry.
I'll make it real fast. And I went to Milwaukee School of Engineering, and there was a cop on the side on Wisconsin Avenue, deep in the downtown Milwaukee. And I asked him, where is MSOE? Where is Milwaukee School of Engineering? Where is 1025 North Milwaukee? He looked at me and he said, how the hell did I know?
Okay. Mr. Shaw, right now what we're talking about tonight, please. What we're talking about tonight is your building on Webster Avenue. And it is in terrible disrepair. It's a health hazard and it's a safety hazard. And so what we're talking about is your building.
Yes, and I'm coming right to the point, sir.
Please let me. So what we need to hear from you is, why should we not raise your building?
Yes.
And what are your plans for that?
Yes.
To possibly change our mind. That's all we need to hear tonight.
I will give you both answers.
Thank you.
Okay. Alrighty. Number one, ever since they informed me that my building needs repair, okay, I have paid money to three different people. They did the repair work and disappeared. Okay? Right here in Green Bay. By the way, I've written checks. Okay? I was of the opinion, and you can correct me, that the gentleman who came to my office to say what needs to be corrected, every one of them I asked, I would like to know who could do the good repair job, okay, so on and so forth. One of the things, I had almost a lucky break of getting that building fixed. On the door was the sign, nobody's allowed to enter this place. The bank I'd been doing business for over 30 years, and when I paid up my mortgage of the home, their person, they okayed it, but their inspector walked around the building, and when he saw that sign, that was the end of that road. Okay?
Okay.
I have tried many angles to get it fixed. Okay? Now, the second question you had asked, I can't think of it. I'm on my feet.
Okay.
And
what are your plans with the building right
beautiful.
Now?
Beautiful. Okay. Right now, at this very minute, there is a structural engineer who's checking the building out to see what needs to be fixed and what cannot be fixed. Okay. Number two, okay, if worse comes to worse, I might start a condo office building from there to fix it. But I'm 80 years old. It will take me, it took me last 3 years. I almost got there and got wiped out by a sign. Okay? Now, maybe in future, for the benefit of the rest, it should not be hung on the door, on the outside door. It didn't help me. I had the loan in my hand. It disappeared.
Okay.
They said, money will be there on Monday, but we'll have to send the inspector. Okay. And I said, of course. Little did I know that people who have not owned the property, big properties, office buildings, so on and so forth, would not know what damage one sign can do.
Okay.
I've been in that building 35 years,
yep.
And I'm 80 years old and I'm still working. I still worked. Oh, by the way, 3 days a week I come right around the corner because I got to go for kidney dialysis. Okay. And the other 3 days, including Saturday, I work. Okay. And I would like to get that building fixed so that in case if I drop dead at my age 80, I don't have any guarantees. Okay? I want my wife, who's an American woman, by the way, born and brought up in Oshkosh, a redhead,
okay?
Who could get the rental income to live on?
The
I'll let you finish. If you could just wrap it up, and then we'll discuss this among us. So what do you intend? You have a structural engineer looking at your building.
They want to check the building out, what needs to be fixed, what not does not right. needs to be fixed. Yeah. And then I will get piece by piece, I want to get it fixed and rent it out for my wife's sake.
Okay. What is this? Who's the structural engineer you're dealing with?
Structural.
Yeah. Who? What firm are you working with?
I don't know. Somebody else is specializing who's getting the one, okay,
okay.
for that purpose.
Okay.
I also intend to check the watermarks on the wall. They're not pores, according to specialists. And I'm going to send that to Madison to get it certified. I'll work on it. Okay? I called them, and they said, from University of Wisconsin, then they sent me to the state, stating that those three people who were supposed to fix the walls, the roofs, and by the way, the walls, okay, and they stole a few things too, okay, that they would try to get hold of them. Now, another attorney said that he is going to approach my insurance policy owner, I'm the owner, insurance policy company,
yep.
okay, to see what can be done. Well, obviously, as soon as the cash flows, the first thing I'll do is fix the building for my wife's sake. I'm not being generous. It is necessary. If Donald Trump gets rid of the health insurance,
yep.
both my wife and I are serious sick people. I got dialysis.
Sir, I'm sorry.
My wife has got my...
I appreciate
I know
that.
Your need.
No, I appreciate that, but we have to stick to the subject tonight.
I am on the subject, sir.
We're just talking
the
about
reason
the
reason I want to fix the building is for the benefit of my family.
Yep.
Oh, incidentally, somebody just reminded me yesterday that I should bring this up to you. I've been in that building 25 years, over 25 years, and I've paid over $200,000, okay, and not one can of garbage has ever been picked up, nor was it necessary. Not one hour of work was done,
yep.
and all I begged for the time to get it fixed. And I do not know how fast it could be done, mm-hmm. but I wish it could be done. And if this gentleman who come and check, can't they have the list of people who had got it fixed so I can go to them and ask them?
Okay.
Okay? Is the government by the people, for the people, to the people?
Yeah.
Where is it? I paid $200,000.
Okay.
Okay? And all I need is time. These people are very young. They don't know what it takes to earn money. Yeah. They are working, but they haven't done it on their own business.
Okay.
Okay,
okay sir.
Thank you.
I thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
Oh.
Do we have a motion to pick up the rules?
Make the motion.
Trustee Genrich, seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, do we have a motion on this item? Oh, we don't have
to. Unless we're looking to change from last time, I don't know if we necessarily need a motion.
Right.
It would seem that I differ.
Well, I mean, just to update the board on, in terms of status, at the last meeting, or maybe the one before, the board authorized my firm to continue with the raise order process. And that was done. The actual building inspector ordered to raise the building was issued and was personally served, so the process is in place. And upon service, that triggers a 30-day window for Mr. Shaw, should he choose, to basically file a court action to try to prevent the raising of the structure. And if he doesn't do that within the time prescribed by law, then basically he's forever barred from complaining about the village raising the property. So the process is in place. And it will proceed in accordance with the raise order. We did give 30 days for him to raise the building. I would suggest we wait a little longer because, as I indicated, he does have 30 days after service to file a petition with the Brown County Circuit Court to have a judge take a look at the propriety of us raising the building. In my estimation, there isn't really any dispute that we have the legal authority to raise the building because of its dilapidated condition and the amount of money that would be necessary to be spent to rehabilitate the structure. If it's more than 50% of the assessed value, it's unreasonable to repair. And from what I've seen and what I've heard, from looking at the raise order, clearly we meet that standard. So, but the board has discretion. The board can choose, if it wishes, to delay the order and give him some time, should the board want to, or the board can stick to the raise order as issued and let the process play out consistent with statute. So the board has discretion in terms of how you want to approach this. We can stick with the raise order, or you can afford more time if that's your pleasure.
So if we wanted to change it, we would need a motion to do so.
You would, because my understanding, the last motion that was adopted was to proceed with the raise process. That process is in play. The timelines are ticking. But like I said, if the board wants to, put the brakes on for some period of time that would be agreed to, and I would see if the board does go that way, then I would suggest that we reach some kind of a stipulation or agreement with Mr. Shaw so everybody's on the same page in terms of expectation and time frames and the reinitiation of the raise process. If he doesn't abide by what he says he's going to abide by, that's up to the board in terms of whether the board wants to pursue, kind of a forbearance agreement at the present time, or if the board wants to just proceed and let the process play out because it's already been activated.
Did Kevin want to say something? Or?
I'll lead into you, Kevin. With the notice posted on the door, I believe, Kevin, are you the only one that can authorize entrance, or does that have to go through our municipal judge for,
with me putting the placard on the door, I'm the only one that can authorize it. Now, if it was the health department or if it was the fire department, they'd have to go through them. But it's up to me because I'm the one that put the placard on.
And that process is typical of the overall process. That's just how it works, correct?
Right.
Well, actually, that's a statutory provision in the raise order statute. It says if it is this dilapidated, we're supposed to put that placard on there. And I don't buy it that affected the financing. Any lending institution that's going to finance a rehabilitation or remodeling is going to appraise the structure. And if it's that dilapidated, that doesn't give them much security. My guess is if and when they looked at it, that was the true basis that they refuse the loan because they aren't going to get any kind of equity position in there or security position because it is so dilapidated. So I don't think it was the placard that's out there. It's basically an inspection or a quasi appraisal that said it's not worth lending money. I'm guessing that that's the true reason for the bank's reluctance to loan the fund. Although the property is free and clear, we did discover that. Running title report, so there should be some land equity in there because there is no mortgage on the property as it sits there today.
And if we leave the raise order stand as is, what is the soonest date that the building could be raised?
Well, what I would suggest is even though the raise order said 30 days, I would afford Mr. Shaw 45 days. Just because, as I indicated, he's got a 30-day window to initiate court proceedings. So I don't want to be there on the 30th day and find out 3 days later that he did start the court proceedings. So I'd want to give a little time for that to percolate. And if a court proceeding is initiated, the statute indicates that it shall be given preference, which means it will get on the calendar quickly, within a matter of a week or 2 weeks' time. And then run through the normal course and have a hearing 6 months or 8 months. The statute says it will be given priority. But that depends if he initiates that process. So if the process is initiated, we have a court hearing, judge reviews everything, judge determines whether the raise order is reasonable. If so, we proceed to raise the building. If no court action is initiated by Mr. Shaw, then I would suggest within 40, 45 days, we would be in a position to raise the building and place the costs of the raising as a special charge on the property.
I
And that's 45 days from...
After service, which was just recently. I don't have the date.
July 27th. Okay.
And if Mr. Shaw has a structural engineer look at it and they determine what needs to be done, and that he goes to a bank and gets the money to fix it prior to that 45-day window, even though he doesn't go to court, does the village board have the opportunity to change its mind?
Yes. The board would be able at that point in time, if he shows good faith and actually has a structural engineering report, perhaps a cost estimate of the necessary remediation work, and maybe a letter of credit from a bank. If he has some of those things and the board is willing to accommodate, you know, some further time because he has done through some things and jumped through some things, board at that point can say we will delay the order and give you an additional, you know, whatever that period of time is to actually affect the repairs, you know, with a provision in that agreement, which I would suggest it would be, that, look, if you don't do what you say you're going to do and you miss a milestone, the clock will immediately start ticking again, and we will proceed to raise the structure. I mean, I wouldn't recommend that we waive or relinquish the 30-day window that's in existence now for him to challenge. If he wants to challenge it, let him challenge it. I don't want that window to come up 6 months from now if we give him more time. So, but yes, if and when it comes time to actually demolish the building, he's showing good faith, and the board looks at it and says, we'll give you some time. We can put the brakes on it and then reinitiate the process at a later point if he does not abide by what he says he is going to abide by.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for...
That seems pretty fair, based on what we've heard and all the work that's been done. Leave it as is.
Trustee Harris?
With regard to one of the comments that Mr. Shaw made, just my impression that I may be wrong, in terms of the village staff recommending any business to do work, I think we, as part of the policy, we do not do that. We do not want to endorse a certain company's work over another. So that would be the reason why, if that question's asked, it's not in the village's best interest to pass along certain companies and whether or not they're capable of doing work.
Okay, thank you. Any other thoughts on the matter?
I have just a question for Attorney Gass. You mentioned the 45 days rather than the 30 days. Do we have to make a motion to change that and give him the 45 days? Or
no. We have the legal ability on the 30th day to raise the structure. So we have the legal ability on the 35th or 40th day to raise the structure.
Okay.
If we just belay it a little bit, and my office can check, you know, on the 30th day or the 31st day, we can see if something was filed at the Brown County Courthouse. So it could be. I just didn't want there to be something lost in communication. On the 30th day, we're knocking it down, and on the 31st day, we get served with a petition in circuit court. Then we're kind of in a bad situation. So, but we can check on the 31st or the 32nd day because everything gets filed at the courthouse. So we can determine whether anything was in fact filed. And so we probably could proceed to raise the structure on the 31st or 32nd day. So the only reason, you know, for the little cautionary delay is I just want to make sure if it's something we get served on the village, they got time to serve it.
Okay, so that would be the 30-day window would be like August 26th.
Yes.
Okay. Any other opinions from my fellow board members? I hate to see anyone's building torn down. I hate to see anyone's building torn down, but we have an issue of a building that's not safe, and it's a health hazard. Personally, Mr. Shaw, I don't know if you heard everything that took place, but you have, and I'll ask the village staff to send you a letter, okay, with your options. But right now, you have 30 days to challenge that raise order in court. And are these gentlemen with you, by the way? You
I'm
are?
Sorry.
Are? Okay. So these two gentlemen are with you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have 30 days from July 27th.
July 27th.
Right. So, say August 26th. You have 30 days to challenge that order in a court of law.
Okay.
Yep. You also have an opportunity if your structural engineer comes back, and we'll ask the staff to put some things together that what you would need, but for this board to change its mind, I think you have to make significant improvement in the process. So if you have a report from a structural engineer saying this is the cost of what needs to be done, and you have a bank willing to give you the money, or you've attempted to do that and you can prove that, I think there will be an opportunity to come back. There is an opportunity for you to come back to the village and say, I've been able to make progress. Right now you say you have a structural engineer looking at it. That's good. So let's see what he says. But for now, I think it's the inclination of the board to leave the order in place. You will have the opportunity to go to a court and challenge that in court, or you can make significant progress in figuring out what to do with it, because quite honestly, we just can't leave it be like that for any long period of time. Would you like to come up? If so, I'll...
Can I drop?
1 second. I'll entertain a motion.
I would just add one other item in terms of what you've suggested. I think we would also be looking for a detailed timeline.
Yeah. In a detailed timeline. Thank you. Mr. Shaw would like to speak. Do I have a motion to suspend the rules? Mr. Shaw, I think the board's heard everything they need to hear. So what the staff is going to do is going to send you a letter with the options we've come up with. We'd like to be able to help you, but I think you understand we need to see some progress. We can't just leave it there.
August 27th. Pretty fast to get the loan.
Right.
And the range.
No, I understand that. But we need to see some progress. You have a structural engineer looking at the building. Get the report, figure out how much it's going to be, and talk to your bank and see what happens. That's all I can say.
Like the office building. My residence, yes.
Yeah. We'd like to help you, but we also have to protect the community. So
if
that, try and get your people to work hard at that.
If 80-year-old men can't come and beg for help, what do you need?
Sir?
Which bank is willing to give a loan? Come along with me.
I do not know. I don't know the answer to that.
They were giving me the loan, but it was blown.
Yeah.
By the way, the sign was put up.
Okay. They'll send you a letter. You'll know what you can do, and I wish you the best of luck at getting a report and getting something done. Okay. Thank you very much.
President Raptor?
Yes.
I just want to make sure at the point of stress that no one can go into the building without contacting our building inspector.
Thank you for bringing that up. Mr. Shaw, someone...
The second letter.
Mr. Shaw, someone can go into that building. All they have to do is call the village and ask for Kevin, and he'll get them into the building. Okay?
What time? What hour? Kevin works? What hours does Kevin work?
I start at 6:30, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I work till 3:30 on those days, and then a short day on Friday, so it's 6:30 to
6:30
to
3:30?
Yep.
Monday through Thursday?
Yep.
What happens on Friday?
6:30 to 10:30.
Okay, moving on. We have agenda item number 8, resolution 2017-27, thanking Kendra Hansen for her years of service on the Plan Commission. Is Kendra here?
Nope.
She is not. As we mentioned at our last village board meeting, Kendra has been a volunteer in the village of Alloway for a while. Her and her husband have decided to move and move on to an interesting life, and we wish them the best of luck. But we have a resolution 2017-27. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Dart.
I move to approve.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Atwood. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. I'll read the resolution. It says, be it resolved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway, County of Brown, State of Wisconsin, that the Alloway Village Board wishes to thank Kendra Hansen for serving on the Plan Commission since May 15th of 2012, and to honor Ms. Hansen with a resolution and certificate of recognition of her excellent service to our community. Passed and approved by the Village Board of the Village of Alloway this first day of August, 2017. Thank you very much to Kendra and her husband, who has also been a volunteer, and we wish them the best of luck. Action item number 10, vendor permit. Action regarding vendor permit for Down Syndrome Association of Wisconsin, Green Bay, for awareness walk and annual fundraiser on August 27th from noon to 4 p.m. at Green Isle Park. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green. Motion to approve. Seconded by Trustee Genrick. Any discussion? Wonderful cause. Thank you for bringing that to us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 11. Action regarding winter maintenance agreement for Fox River Trail. Last year, as you know, Village of Alloway chose to plow the trail, and Brown County joined in, and the other communities, the Pier and Green Bay, did, and that was a one-year commitment. So now we're looking at the next year commitment. Mr. Clark.
Yes, Brown County Parks Department came to us. They're working on their fiscal year 2018 budget and are requesting to see if the Village of Alloway once again would like to budget funds to assist in plowing of the Fox River Trail. Similar agreement as last year, similar funding. The contractor that they worked with agreed to hold their price into 2018. And so they're just requesting if the Village of Alloway would like to proceed with an agreement similar to last year.
Trustee Green?
Would move to approve for staff recommendation that we budget up to $5,300 for fiscal year 2018 and pursue a similar agreement with Brown County that we had last year.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris? Any discussion?
Just that we can't control Mother Nature, and last year's costs were only $1,700. We had such positive feedback from people using the trail and connecting the community. So.
We did, and as we saw in our handouts, the numbers of people who walk the trail has increased significantly since plowing it. We've had a lot of positive input from our citizens. And I see our county we have our two county supervisors, by the way, here tonight, folks. Thank you, Joan, and to Paul for being here. And Paul sits on the Ed and Park Committee. And they were talking about it their last meeting. And it seems that there's a question whether or not all the communities want to get back into it. I know DePere said they were only going to do it for a year. And I think I'm correct in saying, Paul, that that the county's, right now the county's position is that those communities that participate and the 50-50 share are the communities that will get their portion of the trail plow. Is that correct?
I don't believe that any final decision has been made, but that is kind of what I put forward.
Okay.
Alloway was nice enough to put in theirs, and thankfully the other communities did that, and then I would hope that going forward, just because it's a great benefit of both Green Bay, Alloway, and the Pier.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I love the idea. I wholeheartedly support it. I don't support anything that would say, because the peer's not going to pay their portion, that the county would pay 100% of theirs and have us pay 50% of ours. But I would say, based on what we know right now for the type of agreement and assuming that all the other communities are going to play, I'd be all for it as well. Any other? Trustee Harris.
Related to this, I don't know how the measurement takes place on the Fox River Trail. I know it's that traffic's sensor, so to speak. Have we ever considered looking at that for the usage of the East River Trail? I don't know the cost that's involved.
From my knowledge, we have not.
Okay.
I don't know if Brad, if you ever did previously, not at all.
Okay.
Previously, we've just done manual counting.
Mm-hmm.
By me on a weekend.
You and a lawn chair.
Clicker. And I know, me for one, I spent a lot of time on the Fox River Trail walking in front of that infrared camera. Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you once again to our county supervisors for your great support. Action item number 12, discussion action regarding Brown County 200th year anniversary Opoly game. Mr. Lane.
We're going to be on a game.
Trying to find my emails back and forth with All Sports Marketing. I can start off. All Sports Marketing contacted, is reaching out to all the communities within Brown County. They started the process by reaching out to one of the county supervisors, who then in turn sent them to County Executive Troy Streckenbach. Now, the county itself, because the game is called Brown County 200th Anniversary, Brown County itself is not part of the payment unless they would like to. But the other communities around here, except for Pulaski, are all in favor, and many of them have already approved it. Some of them are still in the process of getting the final approval. What are the benefits, one might ask? For $795 is the contribution. You get a square on one of the properties on this, similar to a Monopoly. And the village then would receive 30 games to do whatever we so choose to do. One could be sell the games ourselves. Suggested price of selling the game is $29.95, so therefore if you sold all 30, you would be a little ahead of the game. Again, going back to who is all participating, again, everyone, apparently all the communities except for Pulaski, but the new zoo, Brown County, important resource, because of that correctly, as well as myself on the board there too, I'm sorry. Several other private businesses have been involved with this, as well as some of the other county facilities, Austin Straubel Airport, I said that correctly, Green Bay Austin Straubel Airport now.
International.
I'm flying out there on Thursday. So it's brought to the board. I have a spot reserved on the game, but again, seeking village board approval on whether or not you would like to move forward.
So we got a railroad slot, huh?
Not a railroad slot.
Railroaded.
Where do the proceeds go to the sale of the games in the $795? Where do those proceeds go?
The company receives obviously some proceeds for this, as well as the amount of money going into constructing the games. There's 44 potential places, so it's a pretty good fundraiser. A total of 1,320 games will be produced if all 44 slots are sold. So as far as how's the marketing go for, from the village standpoint, is those 1,320 games are utilized or possibly utilized with the village logo and a little history of the village on our particular game piece.
Thank you. Do I have a motion on this item?
I move to approve that we participate and allocate the $785 to do so.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
Just for lack of better words, nitpicking, do we have an assurance that there are no trademark issues with the Monopoly or whatever the name of the company that operates Monopoly?
They've been in business for many years, and okay. They've done several games. They did one for the city of Green Bay.
Oh, okay. I was unaware of that. Okay.
Campbell Field.
Then I'm just being overcautious.
I got a game for Christmas called Irelandopoly. Any other discussion? We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
We're on a game board.
Woohoo.
I got to put the verbiage together.
Well, that is kind of neat to have a history on the back. Moving on to item number 13, action regarding Public Works Committee minutes dated July 12, 2017, specifically to add no parking here to corner signs for 100 feet on Arrowhead and St. Francis Drive, and I'm assuming that's from Webster Avenue, correct? Craig, do you want to talk about why?
We've received a couple of calls about traffic congestion at these two intersections. And what it stems from is these are narrow streets. They're about 22, 23 feet wide. We have no parking on the north side of both streets, but if a car is parked on the south side near the intersection, and there's another car coming in the opposite direction from a car turning onto Webster or going the other way, they can't pass each other because there's not enough room at the intersection. So the recommendation is to place no parking here to corner at about 100 feet from the intersection from Webster on both streets. And that will alleviate having a car at that point that restricts traffic in two directions. We've had this on other streets as well. This is not unusual for Halloween. Green Avenue has the same situation. We put no parking for 100 feet to the corner to alleviate that congestion that happens when there's a lot of traffic on that road at Webster. So this should take care of that issue. And it still allows enough room for parking by residents because we don't cross a complete lot. There's still room there for that resident on the corner to be able to put a car just beyond the sign.
Okay, great. Thank you. We have a motion on this item.
Just before that, maybe a note, or it could be part of the discussion, I guess, on paragraph 6. It says no parking here to corner. There's a typo there. It's H-E-A-R.
But it's corrected down below.
And that's the correction to follow?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the major action here? Sounds good. I'll make the motion to approve.
Okay. Do I have a second, Trustee Green?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 15, action regarding the appointment of a trustee to Public Works Committee. We have an opening on that committee for a trustee due to the passing of Trustee Kopisch. And Trustee Green, 4 years, has served on that committee, and the committee's benefit. And she has willingly accepted my request for her to join that committee once again. So do I have a motion on that item? Trustee Dart.
I move to appoint Trustee Green to the Public Works Committee.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion? Thank you very much. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 16, action regarding Save the Valuable Historic Preservation Tax Credit. We've received an email on this, and You know what, I'll take a motion on this and we can discuss it. The question before us is, do we sign a letter, sign a petition asking our state representatives not to approve the new proposed state historic tax credit? Very brief summary of it. In the governor's budget, they want to put a $10 million cap on historical tax credits for all projects in the state of Wisconsin. And those tax credits are to be tied to jobs creation. And if those jobs don't transpire within some period of time, I want to say 5 years, the community needs to pay that money back, or the recipient needs to pay that money back. While I'm all in favor of caps and not frivolous spending, for Alloy I'm concerned, because if Assembly Bill 292 is successful and we have a historic property known as the prison, historic tax credits are terribly important to us being able to get developers interested in redeveloping that front building. So that's just one example. We have others as well, but one fear, I don't know if it's valid or not, but that the tax credits would most likely go to communities such as Milwaukee and Madison that could really generate those jobs. So the request from the league, right, it's from the league, they ask that we support a measure to not go forward with that, and they ask us to reach out to our state legislators as well. But there is actually something they want us to sign, correct, Brad?
Correct.
So that's what I know of it. Brad, is there anything else that you want to add to that?
No, I think you really summed it up very well. Thank you.
Thank you. Does our new member of the Historic Preservation Committee, I won't put you on the spot. So with that having been said, I'll accept the motion. Trustee Green.
I would move that we oppose the change in the budget.
Okay. Seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 17, we'll take A through D together on the consent agenda. Do I have a motion on this item?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Trustee Genrich. Any second? Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number, or item number 18, discussion regarding room tax collection, addressing short-term housing. I will open that up to either Trustee Harris or Mr. Lang.
Flip the coin. Just wanted to put together a summary of where things stand with room tax, some of what Allison spoke about earlier today, where the breakdown becomes of how the money gets collected, what our portion is, and where we need to go as a part of the room tax commission to continue to do our part. That 10% room tax that Allison mentioned, it's collected on the two hotels that we have. But what we're looking for is a way to collect off of the short-term housing. Sometimes the wording is used transient housing. We'd be looking at short-term housing. The money that it gets collected, some of it does come back to Alloy. It's not a large portion, but a little bit of it does come back to Alloy. 96% goes for tourism promotion and development. 4% goes back to Alloy. So there is an amount that comes back to us, albeit small, but it does go into the general fund for use by the residents. What else do I have in terms of notes? Oh, where I said we don't make up a large portion. We're about 2% of the revenue throughout the year. Green Bay and Ashwaubenon themselves are 82%. Last year is about $5.75 million that were collected. So as a As an entity, there's a lot coming in. We contributed about $110,000 to that. Now, as Allison mentioned, there's the short-term housing area that needs to be addressed because those entities are getting the benefit of things being done with tourism promotion, the activities done by the Convention and Visitors Bureau. So what we're looking for is a way to establish a tool for us to enforce a rule about collecting a room tax. There are multiple entities that people can use. Airbnb is the most commonly known. HomeAway, VRBO, people use Craigslist, Home Escapes, and I think Debbie did a search last week and found either 9 or 11 entities in Alloway on a Thursday. Prices ranged for a night from either $90 to $450 for one night within Alloway. Now, that's worth it. So, as of today, there's no room tax collected in Alloway for that type of thing. And what we'd be looking to do is process it in the same manner as any hotel, but we don't have the tools in place to enforce that. If you look up our definition of hotel, it's very, very brief. You actually have to look for it in terms of where hotel is in our ordinances. It's actually in our taxation section. Why it got put there, I tried to figure out, and then the only reason we defined it probably was back in 99 as part of the room tax commission that was put together. So that's where it got put within the ordinance. So what we'll need to do, and I'm going to work with Brad on it, is come up with our definitions of the entities, what our process could be, following some of the guidance that we've seen from other places that have established it, and bring it back to the board for review. One of the things that's been talked about, Allison mentioned it briefly, is maybe a common entity, common ordinance throughout the county. I don't see that happening immediately, so we have to do our part to enforce it ourselves. Green Bay does have an ordinance in place right now. There are forms, they've got to go through a health inspection, there's an annual fee, and Green Bay itself has established an agreement with Airbnb so that if anybody, as of August 1st, rents a room, uses a room through Airbnb in Green Bay, a 10% fee will be added to their bill for the night, and it will get passed along to the city of Green Bay once a month. As Allison mentioned, where she said they're not Airbnb friendly, what Airbnb expects is for the entire municipality to be eligible for this. Ashwaubenon has set up one of their ordinance so that only a portion of the village is allowed to do this. So technically anybody else outside that is not allowed to. As Alloway, we'd have to come up with an agreement of whether or not we want to come up with a certain portion of the village that could do it, or we'd open up to all of it, or theoretically we could say, no, you can't do it. All of those options are available to us. But without just a path, we need definitions and the first steps to decide how we want to proceed. Other thing Allison mentioned on Door County. Door County as a whole actually has hired a full-time person who does nothing but monitor the residences. As part of the Room Tax Commission, she came and spoke to us. She spends a high majority of her day just searching the internet, looking for these entities, seeing if this happens, that happens. She'll be in contact with them saying, dear sir or madam, here's, you know, notice that you have this room or house available. Here are the rules that are established within Door County that you'll need to follow, and she will follow up with them, answer any questions, work through paperwork, and continue to police, for lack of better words, the process. But again, it's a full-time person. That would be one of the things that we need to consider within Alloway is what resources would we have available for someone to follow up on these things. And that may be where it leads to for Brown County and the municipalities involved with it, maybe that's where we head, and part of the room tax dollars go there. It's just completely hypothetical on my part for now. But again, without an ordinance, without the definitions, we can't go anywhere. There is an option of paying a service to monitor. Eshwabanon is doing that today. I believe I have the dollar amount right. I think they're paying $1,000 a month for a company to just monitor and make people aware.
I got clarification from Allison when she was here. It's $60 a month.
Oh, it's,
and it's just a clarification of...
It's $1,000 a year. Okay.
Yeah.
I apologize.
That's better.
A little bit better. Okay. But again, it's all they're doing is the monitoring. They're not doing any enforcement. They're not communicating with the people trying to rent out their rooms or their homes. So that's just
like a lot of work for very little benefit.
Yeah.
Especially when we're giving $110,000.
Yeah, we're not getting anything from it.
Right.
Yes.
And that's, but once it, right. But we do get the benefit of the actions that the Convention and Visitors Bureau provides. And as part of our agreement to be with the Room Tax Commission to receive those benefits, there's what we need to do to follow along with everyone else. So we'll see how we can enforce it. But again, without any ordinances, without any definitions, we don't even have that ability.
So the first step is to get the ordinance in the
mm-hmm.
village. Cool.
Yep.
And we think there's 7, perhaps, short-term rentals in the village?
No. Not a specific day. You could look tomorrow, and there could be 2, or there could be 22.
And
or
that could be one site.
Right.
Yeah,
was only
one.
Yeah,
you can look at Packer, you can find a few more.
Correct. So it will
from
all vary.
Yeah.
Okay. But even when we get to that point, who would administer the process? Let's say someone's not following the rules, even after they're approved, for lack of better words. Who does the approval process? Who revokes a permit or a license? Is it appealable?
They need one yet.
Right. You can make this as detailed and as complex as you can imagine. But those are the different things that various municipalities are struggling with, and we'll need to come up with our own plan. I think, again, I'd like to use other people's established ones and mix and match and come up with something that works best for Alloway.
It's just really interesting because I keep coming back to our problem properties are all rental units. I haven't heard of any problem properties with short terms yet, so it's just food for thought. I know what the Room Tax Commission wants to do, but it's like, I don't know, we only get 4%. That's not even enough to sound like enforce it, administer it, do. So anyway, this requires
right.
a lot
before,
of thought on does it even make sense for our community.
The 4% is the same for everyone.
Well, correct,
that
but
ours
we don't
so
have them. Yeah.
Well, you don't. I would say you don't necessarily know that because you're thinking of hotel. You may be thinking of hotels. How many houses are available in Alloway as opposed to De Pere? We don't,
right.
You know, and those are all available for this short-term housing to take place. It's not just that we have 2 hotels, and that's some of the mindset I've had to get myself past, is all these houses are available. So it could be that we've got 100 of them on a daily basis, and we're just not aware of it. It could be that we have 2.
A lot of work.
Just lots. Agreed. But just like we've done with other things, if we don't have rules in place, there's no way to enforce. So let's start with establishing the rules.
And is there a timeline for a...
No, we just need to continue to make progress. There's, you know, we don't want it to take until 2021 or anything like that, but it does not have to be done, let's say, by the end of the year.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Any questions for Trustee Harris?
My comments are directed at you throughout this whole process, because it seems to me that we have issues within our community, mainly on Packer weekends with these, and I don't want this to become overly burdensome for Alloway residents when we haven't had an issue. And I certainly don't want the rest of the residents paying to subsidize this any more than they already are. So just food for thought. Because if it's going to cost us more to enforce it than to...
Understood. Well, thank you. Item number 19, future agenda items. Trustee Green mentioned one earlier tonight.
The PDD process. Yeah. Just that there's absolutely no teeth in PDDs that hang out there. Okay. So it'd be interesting to see what people are doing in regards to that.
We can bring that up in the future and maybe entrust our planning commission to work on that. Any other future agenda items? Okay, item number 20. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion. Trustee Genrich, second by Trustee Dart. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion passes. Thank you, everyone, for joining.